Congratulations are going out in the large number of guns that you have been getting off the street. What's the secret to your success, Chief?
Hard work and luck.
Because are you arresting people for other crimes and finding out, hey, this gun shouldn't belong to you, and that's when it gets taken? Or are we finding them in cooperation with drug arrests where there's a stockpile? Where are all these guns coming from?
I would say all of the above. Sometimes it can be a gun-related call where someone has reported some type of issue where firearms are involved. It can be the result of a search warrant. A lot of times, narcotic search warrants. It can just be the result of a traffic stop. So there are just many ways. I mean,
are there still people that are confused about conceal and carry, not realizing that you should have started out with a FOID card to begin with, and you also needed extra licensing and classes? Are there people that just assume, oh, now I can carry, and they're confused?
No, I don't think we've run across that. But the people who are possessing them illegally, they know they have them illegal. But I don't recall us running across, unless Officer Mendiola has heard of something, where someone was just confused about that. Most people who know the law do that, and the others, they just choose to just carry illegally.
Most of the people that have illegal guns, do you have any idea where they come from? If they didn't purchase them legally themselves, are they stolen property from someone else? Are they being bought by someone who's eligible to buy a gun and then handed off? Where do they arrive from?
Both. A lot of times people who have them illegally have purchased them from people who have stolen them, either from burglaries, obviously, and burglaries to vehicles. That is one thing with some of the concealed carry. People are leaving their weapons in the car because carrying a weapon concealed is not as comfortable as people realize. I mean, we do it because we've been doing it our whole careers. So we have weapons that, you know, we have on duty and that you can carry off duty. So we're used to that. But, you know, you have to go through a little period there getting used to what you carry. But anyways, getting back to your question is, yes, oftentimes the guns that they have are stolen from burglaries. And at times, too, also straw purchases. That's what you're talking about, where someone who legally has a FOID card and can purchase a firearm goes and purchases a weapon for these people.
Now, Officer Mendiola, I've seen you answer these questions on social media when asked, so I'll give you a chance to repeat the information I know you know, which is, when guns are seized, what happens to them next? Because on occasion, you've had pictures up on social media of some guns that have been seized, and there are collectors that might want some of those, or maybe it's a piece of personal property that was stolen in a theft that actually was a collector's item, and somebody wants them back. What happens to a gun after it's seized?
The vast majority of those are kept for evidence until adjudication of a case. Once that case is adjudicated and that evidence is not needed further, then those guns are destroyed. We do not resell those or auction those off.
But if it turns out to be somebody else's property that has finally risen out of extinction, then does it get returned to that person?
Yes, it does.
Okay. So you always want to make sure you've got all your serial numbers and information of any gun that you would own.
And please lock up your firearms. That's the big burglaries are because of the firearms are not locked up.
All right, that's a very good question, Chief. What is one of the best ways to lock up your firearms at home? Do you need one of those great big gigantic gun safes, or are there easier ways to keep something contained?
They have very small gun safes that you can have, and people they're a size where you can put them in different locations. I'm not going to just tell people because I don't want to put information out there, but
Okay. There
are a myriad of ways, different sizes of safes where you can put a couple guns. I have one. You can put a couple guns in there easily and still have it concealed where someone can't just see it very easily. You have people who do have rifles and different types of weapons. Mm-hmm. They get the larger vault type of safes. And so they can put different type of weapons in there and other valuables.
Because I watch those shows where people will clean out container boxes. And anytime there's one of those fireproof boxes, it's not a gun safe, but it's a fireproof box. I know how to open one of those now. And all it takes is a hammer. So
yes.
That's different fireproof box versus gun safe. Just so you know. Those
but
are
I would stress, though, that, you know, people utilize those. And especially if you have kids, you know, you need to run the locks through there. But that is the best thing to do, to utilize those.
There's also been reports of a lot of drug arrests, arrests of people that are selling drugs in the neighborhoods, near schools, near churches. I know compounds the charges, but just what is the current state of affairs, Chief, as far as the drug trade in town? What's the number one drug that people are most commonly trafficking? What are you on the lookout for?
Well, it's still cocaine mostly. Fortunately, we don't see a lot of heroin, and we still see the illegal amounts of marijuana.
Mm-hmm.
But cocaine is still what is the choice here, and unfortunately, we still have people doing that, be it near schools, be it near churches or other places, and
it
does give you will get an enhanced penalty when you do that.
It's hard not to be near a school or a church within a certain range very easily.
Well, that's true, but if you don't sell drugs, you don't have to worry about that.
True. Has the drug trade, though, in marijuana gone up or down at all from street level since we've seen more and more states start to do medical marijuana, which Illinois does have, recreational marijuana, which we don't, but our politicians are considering doing? Has that changed the marijuana trade at all?
I've not talked to the supervisor of our vice unit, but I don't think so. And honestly, you know, even when it's sold legally, there's always that thing people want to get it illegally because they feel they're getting a deal, plus not, you know, paying taxes on something.
Sure.
And so it's you're always going to have the black market out there, no matter what.
But do you think it would cut down on the business of the vice department? Would it cut down on their hours if we no longer had marijuana be illegal in the state? Would it make their lives that much easier, or would it just give them more time to devote to heroin and cocaine and other drugs?
We have plenty of other things to do in our vice unit and street crime, so yes.
Speaking of which, when vice units actually make an arrest or go in and make a bust of some sort, that information comes out in a little different way, does it not, Officer Mendiola? I mean, when you have traffic stops and somebody is arrested and we see media reports of all of the different things that have happened, if it's a vice arrest, that information comes out differently, true or false? You have to wait until the investigation is more complete, correct?
Yeah, we don't want to jeopardize cases, of course, and including drug cases, so we don't necessarily always have that information available when people prefer and want that. Unfortunately, we can't put those cases in jeopardy.
The reason I point that out is because we live in an age of communication where people are listening to scanners and they're also getting information from their neighbor and it becomes a giant game of operator. And I see more and more people questioning, well, why haven't you covered this or why haven't you talked about this? And the truth is there are a lot of cases that are still under investigation that we can't talk about without jeopardizing that case. Is that not true, Chief?
That is the truth. Officer Mendiola and I actually worked in the task force together some years ago, and whether it be the task force, whether it be our vice unit, or them working together, the ultimate goal that we always try to get to is the source, because oftentimes we have drugs coming here from other places.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can work something and get the middle person, and ultimately we would like to get the source, because then at least that person is not doing harmful things within our community. So we investigate it to the fullest before we can release information.
You mentioned Task Force. Was that Task Force 6?
Yes.
Is Task Force 6 still in existence?
Yes.
It is. Okay. They keep themselves quiet, but I know they get a lot of things done, and I've been in neighborhoods where Task Force 6 has shown up, and boy, they have some interesting tools. And all I can say is they made a lot of noise, but they got the job done. Now, speaking of tools, there was a change in the distribution of old military equipment possibly being redistributed to police departments all over the United States, a new federal change in some of that equipment. Is any new equipment going to be coming your way from that? Or Chief's looking at me like I'm bringing this up out of nowhere.
No, I'm aware of the law. What people have to understand is that a lot of this kind of started when we made law enforcement started using rifles, assault rifles. Mm-hmm. And just like anything else in law enforcement, we're playing catch-up. The reason law enforcement went to rifles is because we were facing people who had rifles. And if we can't defend ourselves, we certainly can't defend you. Well, when that first happened, a lot of agencies, including when I was with the state police, and I even think we had until recently even some older M16s that had been refurbished from the military, mm-hmm. that they did give law enforcement agencies. But these weapons, they don't serve a good purpose. I mean, they did when you didn't have anything, but they don't serve a good purpose for being carried in vehicles, mm-hmm. When you're going to residences. So
maybe more specialized situations, like when you have a SWAT team. Or
yes, yes. So, but even, you know, people have purchased them individually, officers. So it really got minimized, and people don't really use them as much. You will just find some agencies whose budgets will not let them purchase those weapons to go ahead and use that, but we don't.
Okay.
But I just want to make it clear to the public that when they see these things, you know, we are responding to what we face. And some people ask about the use of armored vehicles and things of that nature. Well, if you look out at California, that situation a couple years ago when you had the terrorist incident,
mm-hmm.
that could not have been stopped without the use of armored vehicles. So you need these resources. Does that mean we're going to patrol in them? Absolutely not.
So we're not going to have a BPD tank anytime soon?
No, we won't.
Okay.
But we
maybe just a giant Humvee.
That doesn't mean we can't have access to them, because okay. oftentimes they are used to protect the public. They think it's just for us. But everything we do is in a response to what we face.
Last question before we got to take a break. And again, we're with Bloomington Police Chief Brendan Hefner and Public Information Officer Elias Mendiola. We are going to talk about recruitment, because I know you're looking for new members of the team, and some other events that are coming up where the public can interact with police officers, ask questions, and talk about the things that are on their minds. We have all of that still to come. But I just want to know what the current state of body cameras is, because we're starting to see more and more of that footage coming out with cases that had questions. What's the current state of body cameras at the Bloomington Police Department?
Still testing them.
Still testing.
Still testing them.
How are the tests going?
We're probably going to start testing another manufacturer. And, you know, we are exercising due diligence to get the best product that we can for the amount of money that we spend that will perform the way we want it to. And we're still in search of that product. But I want to be clear, just like your phone, just like your computers and everything else, sometimes they just don't work. I don't care what. But,
sure.
you know, we want to minimize the number of it. You know, the percentage of them, of it not working, should be lower than what we've been experiencing here of late. So we're going to change gears.
Okay, I appreciate the honesty.